Welcome to episode 40 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pratap, and Aaron Catano-Sayez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. Last time, our brave apprentices landed in the Honeysmoke Mountains where the long-awaited Audrin Prom is to be held. June, Cece, and Kieran have been through a lot recently, and this is the first chance they've really had to catch up on things. We join them now as they prepare to share their experiences with one another and continue preparations for Audrin Prom. Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride.
Sing it way, hey-ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride.
Sing it way, hey-ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade.
Sing it way, hey-ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade.
Sing it way, hey-ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time.
Sing it way, hey-ho. Sing it way, hey-ho.
We see a wood, a forest that stretches out in all directions. And unlike other forests you guys have been to in the past, particularly the ones around Otterbox and other places, these woods are not scary. These woods are kind and inviting even. And even though it is cold, even though it is winter, and there's that feel of frost in the air but not on the ground yet, and all the leaves have fallen off the trees, and this kind of gray day, we see as the audience, the camera pan over the three of you as you have come to this little hollow and swept away the leaves and built a little circle of stones and made a tiny fire. And we can hear the crackle of it and smell the wood smoke. And we see Cece as you are tending to the fire, making it. And we see June, and we see Kieran, the two of you kind of sitting on either stones or logs or whatever you want to sit on. And you've come to this place to kind of talk. There's not a whole lot of time to talk on the Audrin. By the time you guys are ready to go to sleep, you're done like for the day. It's been a hard day's work. When you guys are flying, there's no time for anything. And so you get to talk during meal times and in between places, but there hasn't been a chance to really discuss what's happened to you. This is your guys' sixth stop, I think. Respite. Swiftwell's respite. And so there's been a lot that's gone on that you guys haven't really had talked about yet. And we see the three of you sitting there looking at each other.
Cece's throwing tiny twigs into this fire and like feeding it, making it a little bit bigger. She's squatting down on her hunkers. She gets up, stretches out, and says, "All right, y'all. We got to talk, because this prom thing's coming up. We've been through a lot of kind of doo-doo situations, and I want us to enjoy this to the fullest. We got to get all this stuff out of our system, all this negative stuff, so that we can enjoy this. So we're going to chat about it, and we're going to have the best time of our Audrin lives."
"Aye, aye, Captain."
"Thank you."
"Yeah, I think that's a good idea." So I would like to ask about the thing that happened when we were in the Red Feather Tower.
"Oh.
A lot of things happened in the Red Feather Tower."
"Mm-hmm.
To be
no,
fair.
You're right. That's specific. That, yeah, I need to be more specific."
"Where do you start?"
"I would like to know what happened when it was raining."
"Oh, yeah."
"Oh.
Like, what was that exactly?"
"So, you know how I've been with Star Watcher Winchwind, learning a little bit about Lumen lore and and star watching,
and you're like really good at
it." "Yeah,
that's the thing. Is I thought that I was learning a lot, and I know I'm not like I'm a novice and stuff like that, but I think I bit off a little more than I can chew in terms of control of whatever I can do.
Okay.
You know, because I saw Kieran getting taken away by somebody and I got all angry. I blew my top. I lost my control a little bit. I may have called out to Illumin, which I have learned is not something that I can control. Shouldn't do that. That was a big no-no. And it caused me to go to the island and to bring the island here to this. Sorry. I took you all on a quick vacation that you never asked for to
That's
the island.
That's okay, Cece. You didn't mean to do it.
I know.
That explains why you were coughing up seawater.
Yeah, for like a really long time.
Cece, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Did you tell Star Watcher Winchwind about this?
Not yet. No. Kind of putting a pin in that.
That's good to know.
I'm a little embarrassed, gotta say. I made a big whoopsie daisy, and it was the most terrifying moment of my life. Knocking out the Forest Queen was way easier. Remember when I threw a right hand and totally KO'd the Forest Queen?
Trees
rustle.
This was way scarier. Ooh,
okay, so let's not talk about that right now.
Okay, yeah.
Because we are in a forest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, this was way worse on a scale. Like, I saw somebody, and Kieran thankfully saved me, but
I saw them
too. That was really bad.
Wait. Hang on. Okay, so, Cece.
Yeah.
You called out to a luminary.
Yes.
It was the island?
Yeah, I wanted them to, like, blow out the candles or, like, you know, the power of the island to blow the wind, cause the winds to, you know, I wanted to command a lumen to blow out the candles and make it dark. But instead, the island took over and kind of...
like, rained.
Yeah, you were there. You saw it. Yeah. But, like, the island was in the driver's seat. I wasn't even the passenger. I was in a car seat in the back.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
And then you said you saw someone there?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and Cece very hesitantly and slowly pulls out her card. She shows the card, and it's a picture of a shadowy figure hugging their knees on a very square, small piece of land in the middle of a raging storm. See this person? I went there, and I saw them, and they saw me, and I don't think they liked me very much.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Kieran, what did you do?
I tried to help. I don't know how. I just kind of wanted to help Cece really bad. And I saw that person too, and they said something to me.
What?
They talked to you?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
What did they say?
Yeah.
He's not here.
Who is?
Who's not here?
I have some ideas, but I don't know.
Did they talk to you, Cece?
No, I couldn't even see them. For me, they were just in shadow. Did you see this person?
Kieran, you did see their face. You saw that they were Jiltaren.
Uh-huh.
And you saw into their eyes, but you didn't recognize who that person was.
Did I have time to, like, after everything that happened at Teshirt, maybe, like, do a sketch of this person's face that I saw?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good idea.
So I think Kieran takes out their sketchbook and, like, flips to the page and then turns it around and shows it to Cece.
Cece goes and sits down.
This is the face that I saw.
Okay. Okay. Cece is shook.
And it's a haunting picture. I imagine, and Kieran, correct me in this description or not, but I imagine that it's just eyes. Like, we see that there's, like, a silhouette of a face inside of this hood, but it is these intense eyes that are just kind of boring out of the page.
I almost feel like they might have caught, like, a glimpse of some tattoo patterning, like, on the side of the face, but nothing. It was just partial, basically.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of that. But yeah, it's a very – I used a lot of charcoal on this. The shading is off the charts.
Wow.
That is – okay. You don't know this person, though. You don't know this island.
I don't recognize them at all.
But they knew you, or said that they said that he's not here. Who?
Yeah, that's why I'm like confused, because they could be talking about my dad.
Oh, my
goodness.
If I don't know who they are, then how do they know who I am and who my dad is?
Do you think maybe this person on the island is the island, like as a luminary?
Is that a thing? Can that happen?
I know absolutely nothing about it, but like, do you think maybe because the island is drawn with like an island and a person on the island, that maybe this person is a part of that luminary and was speaking as the luminary?
I think Karen is looking at Cece to see if she has an answer.
Cece, we see you. Everyone turn to you, and we do a flashback. You and Star Watcher Winchwind are like up in the crow's nest, and it's nighttime, and the moon is full, and there's just a few stars in the sky, but there's this like nebula-esque, like Aurora Borealis that's kind of washing itself over the sky as you guys are flying. And you ask the question to Star Watcher Winchwind.
Are like the pictures on these, they like, they're one-to-one, right? Like there is a bird in a cave somewhere and that's the lumen, and there is a person on an island and things like that. Like this is just like what they look like, right?
And Star Watcher Winchwind looks over at you, reaches in their coat and pulls out their deck and shuffles it like expertly, like just does this expert shuffle of these cards and goes, pick one.
Cece picks one. The perfect crime.
You see that it is Star Watcher Winchwind. They have drawn themselves into this lumen, and it's them like picking a pocket. It's a crowd. There's one person. You see Winchwind like reaching out, eyes closed, like pulling something from a pocket. And they go, am I a lumen?
Right now, I don't know what to think. You might be.
I can assure you, I'm not a lumen. They're different for everybody, and everyone's deck is different. What you'll see is not necessarily what the lumen is. It is what the lumen represents to you. Therefore, to me, the perfect crime deals with me. There's something deeper about that, obviously. But what I'm trying to say is a lumen manifests the way that you need it to manifest. Your card, let me see your deck. This is the island. It's what the island means to you. And less about what the island truly is. The island is true to itself, and you are true to your lumen, and the two of you meet in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yes. Cece knows darn well what this island means to her.
And Star Watcher Winchwind smiles and goes, it will always be different. They go through their deck and pull out their island. And their island is like a tall rocky spire in the middle of like a stormy ocean, and there's like a skull like on the top of this like craggy mountain on this island, and they go, this is my island. And the way that the island works always stays the same, but its interpretation and meaning is personal to me, just as this one is personal to you.
Okay.
And that's the way it will work.
Cool.
And we flash back to this moment.
Yeah. So what was the question again?
I think in short, we were basically asking, like,
is that
if the person on the island that talked to Kieran was the island trying to tell Kieran something.
All I know is that my island is loneliness, abandonment, and a rage. So I guess they could be. Because that person was pretty mad, in my opinion.
Hmm. Okay, so, Kieran, how did that make you feel?
I guess, like, a lot of stuff was happening, and I didn't really think about how it made me feel at the time, but I'm thinking about it now, and, I mean, it's kind of good that if they were talking about my dad, and if my dad wasn't there, that means he's somewhere else and he's not alone or abandoned.
That's a good point.
That's a really good point. True. Okay.
I guess, I don't know if I realized, Karen, that you were looking for your dad.
What do you mean?
Are you looking for your dad?
Yeah, I when we were at the ceremony, I said that's what I wanted to do.
To find him?
Yeah, I was serious. Did you think I wasn't serious?
No, no, that's not what I mean. June looks really uncomfortable for a moment. I think I forgot, and I wanted to say that I'm sorry, because I feel like I should be helping you.
Oh. Well, if it helps, I don't really have a lot of leads.
I mean, now you do, kinda, right?
Sort of, I guess. It's not... it's not much of one. I just know that he's not alone. That could be anywhere.
I guess that's true.
Hey, every great journey starts with a single step. This is a clue. This is a start. Can't hate on this start. We're somewhere. Yeah. We were told by a deity or something, whatever, that your father was not there, that they were not lonely, they were not angry, and they were not abandoned. That's a good start.
Yeah. No, I think so too.
So, you know, we're going optimistic here. We're going to find your dad. Bottom line, it's happening. I don't care. Personally, I don't care how many lumens I have to draw. I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to help out whoever I can. If I got to draw every lumen and barf up as many fish as I have to, I'll do it.
Thanks, Cece.
I got you.
The fish barf did seem pretty gross.
Yeah.
It was a 1 out of 10 experience, June.
Mm-hmm.
Would not recommend. However, for you, Kieran, let's do it. I got a whole lot of cards. And if we got to ask every single one of these bad boys, we will do it.
Actually, Cece, do you think the cards will help?
You know what? Cece holds the deck in her hand, and it's kind of warm. She says, you know what? No, I'm not putting my faith in this anymore. And she puts it back into its, I think it has a new little holster on her belt that she's made. It doesn't look great, but it's what she's got right now. Yeah. She puts it away and she says, no, I'm not relying on that again. You know what we can rely on, though?
What?
She puts her fist in, says, each other.
Karen puts their fist in, too.
Yeah.
June puts her fist in.
We can always watch each other's back. But there's no card in here and no deity that's going to do that for us. So whatever we need to get done, whatever goals we got, you know, we can watch each other's back and make sure we get it. If we need to use these things to get what we need to do to get done, chase these dreams, then so be it.
Maybe,
but I'm not going to rely on anybody but you two.
Maybe it's good that we're at Audrin Prom, because maybe even if we didn't find anything on our route, if we talk to some of the other Audrins, they might be able to, like, I don't know, maybe they saw something.
Yeah, that's we should totally ask the Black Audrin kids later.
Let's do
it. Oh, yes! If anybody knows anything about, like, magic and wizardry, it would be them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
Speaking of which, Cece leans against a tree and puts her foot against it, crosses her arms, says, hey, June, can I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Where were you when we jumped from the tower?
What do you mean?
You went somewhere.
I was with you.
Well, yes, you were. You were there physically. But June, I feel like, was somewhere else. I could feel that you weren't home. And we were carrying around June, the shell, but the person wasn't in there.
Oh, yeah. So, we were up on the tower, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the flash, like the signal out in the salt flats.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I knew that we needed to figure out, like, who it was and where they were exactly so that we could get to them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I reached out to see if there might be, like, a bird in the area.
What?
That could help.
Okay.
Was there?
There was, yeah. It was like a hawk of some kind. And he was out, you know, riding the thermals in the air and just kind of hanging out, and he let me see through his eyes.
What? Like you went in the bird?
Kind of. Like, well, Cece, you know how you said when you pulled the lumen, you weren't really driving, you weren't even really in the seat next to the driver. You were sort of in the back. It was kind of like that.
But in a bird?
But with a bird.
Whoa. Awesome.
I didn't really know exactly what was going to happen. I just knew that we needed kind of answers. And
did you feel like and you were flying?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
How was it?
Yeah.
Was it awesome?
It was awesome.
Whoa.
It was, I mean, you've flown on the Griffins before, so you know what that feels like. It was like that, but I don't know, clearer, stronger?
Wow. That's like everything you've ever dreamed of, June.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
CC high fives June and says, desperation magic.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I knew I had to try something.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, that's not the first time. That's the first time I've done that specifically, but that's not the first time that I've asked for help from a bird and I've gotten it.
Oh.
Tell us more about your bird powers. Cece puts her hood up.
On the Snoogie? The Snoogie hood goes up? Yeah.
But tell us more about your bird powers.
Well, I don't really know exactly. I think I would be learning more if I had like a teacher like you do, Cece. Like you have the Star Watcher.
June.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Where are you getting all this knowledge for being a wind whisperer?
The journal.
Okay. How does that manifest for you? Are you like reading, what is in the journal that's teaching you these things? I'm curious.
So I don't think it's like tutorial in any way, the journal. I think the journal is literally just full of entries about feelings and experiences and like annotations of how birds work, like physically and biologically and all of that. The journal has like details about experiences and things that have happened to the person writing the journal, and that June is trying to recreate those situations.
Interesting. So is it more the fact that the journal says that this person went into a bird and flew through the bird's eyes, and by doing that, you know that that's a possible thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The journal is not like, this is how you do this, but the journal is, I did this, this is what was happening, and this happened. And so June is taking those and like trying to formulate a theology behind it. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's
so
really interesting.
It's the other way. It's
so
like,
she's deconstructing it, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
She's reverse engineering it.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is why she hasn't done leaps and bounds of progress on this. She's having like sporadic breakthroughs where something will happen. So I think June goes into her pocket and pulls out the journal. And it's just a small, dingy, like brown leather book. It's not anything special. And she kind of waves it and says, yeah, I've been trying to figure it out on my own. And I think it would be a lot easier if I had a teacher. But apparently there aren't a lot of people who know how to do this.
Hmm. Well, we got to find you one then.
Yeah.
Find you a teacher.
I asked about it kind of a couple of times. And anytime I bring it up, I get laughed at and told that it doesn't exist.
People exhaust me! Why? Why do they dismiss this? You have cool magic powers. What? Laugh at you? No one should laugh at you, unless you're telling a funny joke.
I mean, I asked Farah in the aviary. I said, I asked if she'd ever heard of anybody doing something like this, and she said, no, it doesn't exist.
Oh, well, it does, clearly, because you are not home, you weren't a bird, you are a bird person, you have bird magic. We're going to find you
a bird
magic
teacher?
School called?
It says in the journal, Wing Whisper.
Oh, that's a really good name, June.
It is.
It's kind of cool, right?
Yes, we got to find you a wing whisperer, someone who's a wing yeller, someone who's an expert at speaking the wing. And so that you can be like, we got to get your magic power stronger.
Oh, do you think the Black Audrin kids might know something else about this?
Oh, I did ask Rilia, yeah.
Oh.
And she said that she didn't know anyone who had done it, but that it from what she knew, it was really, really dangerous.
Yes.
And bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that.
What?
Did she say why?
No, she didn't say why. I didn't push it because we didn't really have a lot of time in the moon market, remember?
We should ask her why.
Okay. I guess that's why I'm saying it this way is... Every time I bring it up, people laugh or they say it doesn't exist, or they say it's bad and dangerous. And so I guess what I'm saying to you guys as my friends is maybe don't tell everybody.
Okay.
Until we figure out why, or like what it really is for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course. Your secret's safe with us. And
I don't want to get you in trouble, and I don't want to get in trouble before I figure it out.
Absolutely. And should you wing whisper again and you leave us, we will keep you safe. We will keep your June body safe while you're in bird body.
I mean,
we are
you
your
did
knights.
A really good job of that in T-shirt.
I did, I guess. I
you
mean,
both
I shot
did.
Like a fireball or something.
Yeah,
like,
you did a really good job, Cece.
Excuse me, you did a really good job. You were dagger fighting and using cool magic spells. You were a juggernaut, Kieran. You were unstoppable.
Yeah, I'm really upset that I missed all that, Kieran. That sounded so awesome.
I just had to, you know?
I get
Well,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it comes down to, is that like when things get tough and when things get really scary, the three of us really take care of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't back the squad into a corner or our magic powers will activate.
I just don't want to mess that up. You know what I mean?
But
I don't want to not help you, Kieran, if you want our help finding your dad. And I don't want to mess up anything with you, Cece, while you're learning to talk to the lumens and stuff. So I guess I feel bad if I haven't been there for you both recently.
Gosh, June.
There is a moment where you guys remember that over the last couple of stops, June is kind of kept to herself. There's like that first stop you guys stopped at, June kind of did all the things. And even in Condor's Roost, it was the two of you, Kieran and Cece, and June was kind of off to the side. You know that she's been like sword training with Captain Dennison, but a lot of times she works by herself.
I think there is another thing we need to debrief about. At the beginning of our route, I think Captain Dennison sent you and some of the other couriers on an errand. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It seemed like it took a little bit out of you.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. At this time, aside from the remaining Dear Red Audrin letters, we are fairly certain that we have gotten our Kickstarter rewards out to all of our wonderful backers. If you believe there's something missing, send us a message at skyjackscourierscall@gmail.com, and we'll help you out as soon as we can. We would also like to invite you to show your support by leaving a star rating and a written review to help boost the show to new listeners who might be interested. We appreciate all of you who have done so already. If you haven't yet, please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or whatever other podcast interface you may be using. A huge, massive, lion bird-sized thank you to everyone who has made Season 2 possible up to this point. And an enormous thank you to all of you who are currently listening. Thanks. We're so excited to be heading into the second half of the season and towards Audrin Prom. We can't wait to share it with you. And now with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
At the beginning of our route, I think Captain Dennison sent you and some of the other couriers on an errand. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It seemed like it took a little bit out of you.
June has had enough time, I think, between that side mission and now to sort of like adjust to what happened. And I think there have been, you know, tighter spots and faster chases since then that she has sort of adjusted to, like in T-shirt. But immediately following that side mission, she was pretty shaken and she hadn't had a lot of sleep and she didn't know really how to communicate what she was feeling. But she thinks about it a second and she says, yeah, Ortwin, you know, our shipmate Ortwin, was not well, and you know he's a Greenheart, right?
Yeah.
He's got like this amulet thing, and he needed it to be, I guess, fixed, like it was broken in some way. And so the captain and the senior officers grabbed me, I think just because I was there, honestly, and Braith and Bobby Jean to go fly to a place called Last Breath, which was sort of like not on the way the Audrin was flying, but like nearby enough that we could go there and then meet up with the Audrin later. And we had to go to Last Breath and get Leviathan juice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Leviathan blood.
Yeah. They said blood or optical nerve fluid.
Real quick, I got to interrupt. Kieran, what did Jill Tarns do with this other stuff other than blood?
Oh. So blood turned into ink.
Blood could be ink. Mm-hmm. What we learned from Last Breath is that they take, that a lot of people take the humors and they distill them into like liquor.
Uh-huh. They shoot them like shots.
Dang.
But I'm sure there's other ways of using it. I'm just curious, like, what do Jill Tarns use other than blood? What do they use any of it, or do they?
Oh, they probably use all of it. If you go through the trouble of killing a Leviathan, you sure use every bit of it. I feel like bones are probably used to reinforce ships.
Mm.
I feel like, yeah, the spirits that you distill from the humors, they probably use as like Molotovs, honestly.
That's very brilliant.
Listen.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do what you gotta do. We're fighting a war here, folks.
Yeah.
So when June says about Leviathan humors, that's the first thing that jumps to your mind. The fact that Jill Tarns weaponize Leviathans.
Yeah, it is. Oh.
So Last Breath is a it's a red feather outpost, and like, you know how many red feathers there were in Teshirt, like everywhere all the time?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was worse. And the other thing that Last Breath is known for is they harvest Leviathans there. So if a ship or a crew or whatever catches Leviathan out in the ocean, they bring him to Last Breath to be processed. So you can imagine it smelled really bad there. And it was pretty gross. And there were some interesting and often frightening people around. But the captain said we'd be okay. We just needed to go and find some juice and bring it back for Ortwin in order to keep him alive, basically.
To drink?
No. Well, actually, I don't remember if he drank it or not. I don't think he did. I think it's part of like a potion that is... I'm actually not clear on the details. But I know we did it and it made him better. But while we were there, the captain asked us to deliver a letter to someone that he knew there. So we did that. And in order to get the juice that we needed for Ortwin, we had to like make a deal with somebody. And Bobby Jean sweet talked them into giving us the juice in exchange for entertainment. So Braith apparently plays guitar and was like, I'm gonna sing this song. Do you know the harmony? And I was like, yes, unfortunately I do. And we had to be on a stage in front of people and sing this song in public.
Oh.
And it was okay. It actually went pretty well, all things considered. And then we got the juice, and then the red feathers chased us, and it was very scary. And to be honest, that was the thing that really shook me. Is they fired guns at us.
Oh.
Jeez.
I don't even specifically remember why we were being chased, other than that we were trying to get our birds out of the dock. And the red feathers are just kind of frightening in general, I think.
Yeah.
But they did. They chased us and they fired guns at us. And I didn't think we were going to make it. I really didn't think we were going to make it back to the Audrin. And it was really scary. And then, of course, you know, we had been flying for days before that, and we flew for days after that, and I hadn't slept. So by the time we got to Otterbox, I was really kind of at the end of my rope. You know what I mean?
Dang. Can't believe we didn't know. I feel so bad.
No. It's not your fault. It's I should have just told you. No, I just didn't. I didn't know how. And
that's okay, though. We just want to be there for you.
Yeah.
I don't care how many times you tell me about this or how many times we talk about it. I just want you to not feel carry this weight around you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gosh, golly.
I guess I also felt bad because I knew that while I was doing the last breath thing, that you were working extra hard on the boat because the Audrin was missing three of us, four of us, with Ortwin being sick. And so you were working extra hard. And I guess I felt bad.
That's not your fault. We had to do it no matter what. I mean, you have to follow Captain's orders, right?
Yeah. And
it's not like you left on purpose.
No, I didn't. I definitely didn't go on purpose.
And, yeah.
And I guess I got kind of overwhelmed by being scared that Ortwin wasn't going to make it, and that we weren't going to make it. And
I mean,
I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner.
It's okay. The whole thing sounds really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never have to apologize for that. You never have to apologize for, you can, but you never have to. My job will always be to help you carry stuff. Whether I am your pack mule, both of you, and we're each other's pack mules. We're three mules helping each other spread the weight of this journey around, you know? So feel free to just dump a sack over my shoulders anytime if that's what you need, because I will gladly carry it as long as we're walking shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, Jun, we're your friends. We're here for you.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Got you. Gosh, I cannot wait for you to train in bird magic. Gosh, how good. Like, first of all, June, I didn't think you could get any cooler. Like, because first of all, you could bench like 450 and like knock out anybody on the Audrin, like with your hand-to-hand skill. Well, and now you can enter a bird.
CC yells bird magic and like a flock of birds just flies through the trees.
The leaves scuttle to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, can we just talk about, like, this is our session where we like allocate our experience points because, like, first of all, Kieran, excuse me, your dagger skill, 99.
So good.
Your like wizardry rogue magic where you can like connect to feelings and shoot out tendrils and stuff.
That
is max level. June,
incredible.
You can enter a bird. You flew.
You can talk
who
to
needs
birds.
An Audrin? You know, in me, I can barf up fish in seawater.
No,
you
CC,
summoned
come on.
A whole boat.
What? What?
You summoned
you
a boat?
What?
No, I didn't. I shot a fireball, and that was dope. I told June a story.
You summoned a whole boat. No, CZ, you summoned a whole boat.
This is the first time you are hearing of this.
When we were falling, and your boat caught us. If you hadn't, we would be speckles on the ground.
But that was the gondolier, because he was driving my boat. I was on the boat with the gondolier, June, and I shot a fireball. I said, you ever heard this story?
Wait, CZ, hang on.
Yeah?
Kieran, tell both of us what happened.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so it happened really fast, but I was on one of the gondolas chasing after us with Ruby and Bran, and I think at some point we had to jump.
Wait, Ruby and Bran were there?
Yeah, Ruby and Bran were there. So was Fenton.
What?
Also, they're dating somehow.
What?
I know. It's a lot.
Did we know that?
We can unpack that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a whole lot. Everybody was there, and everybody was fighting with us and for us.
It was really cool. And then I think at some point we had to jump, and so we did, and I held hands with everyone, and we formed a circle, and I like, this stuff started to come out of my shoulders and my back, and it like bonded us together for a little bit. But we were still super falling, and the ground was coming up fast, but then like at some point CC had just summoned a hole here, and like Kieran flips furiously through like a couple of pages and like shows CC the boat that she'd summoned, and then she summoned this, and she wasn't driving it anymore, but it was still her, and we landed on it and we were okay, and then we were safe, I guess, like sort of.
Pulls her hood down and grabs the sketchbook and looks at the picture of the boat. I have seen this boat before, and
you have?
You should not have. How have you seen this? Yeah, there's a model boat of this at my house.
CC, I've never.
It was like a little model ship of. It was. It was in a box of my grandma's stuff, and it's how do you know about this?
Because you summoned stuff? A boat.
Oh, was it your grandma that was driving the boat?
My grandma's very much not with us.
Did she look kind of like us? Did she look kind of like you?
I guess, except like gray and like she's like really loud. So it's like nothing like me.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah.
So don't panic.
June reaches over and holds Cece's hand.
I think you channeled your grandma somehow.
Like metaphorically? And was like super cool?
Well, I mean, yeah, but like she was there.
How do you know?
Well, because Cece said that this boat belonged to her grandma, right?
Yeah. I mean, like it's like a toy that lives, it's like a model that lives in a bottle.
But you were walking up and down it and you were like really proud of the boat and talking about how it was yours and how she's flying again. And like it was a whole thing, but like you've never driven a boat or sailed a boat.
Didn't you say that your grandma was like a world famous explorer?
Yeah. Yeah, she was. And she's not here anymore.
But she probably had a boat that she like saw the world on. Yeah.
Yeah. She did. And I don't know, you don't remember this, June, but right before I tried casting a spell to try to like get this gondola off of us that had red feather goons on it or privateers or whoever, I don't know, bad people, I was telling you this story and it didn't go good. And like our boat was definitely on fire. Our gondola was on fire and that's my bad. But I thought I passed out, but my grandma like came up and like talked to me for a second. And I figured that I fell asleep and woke up on the ground or something, but okay, so you saw her.
She got us on the ground.
Whoa.
On a boat.
On her boat, I guess.
But okay.
That's so cool.
It's a lot.
Cece, your grandma's so cool.
Cece, are you okay?
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a lot. So she was like there with me or...
She was
like
you.
With me or was like she like, in me? Was if, I her?
If this we hand were is one- you
uh-huh.
and this hand is your grandma,
uh-huh.
this happened.
Oh.
What do we see there?
Kira just kind that's of amazing. Overlaps both hands.
She asked if she could help. And
did you say yes?
Yeah, she came and found me. So I let her kind of take the wheel. I guess she took that one a little literally. Whoa.
Cece, that's amazing.
That's really
cool.
So
y'all got to ride the boat?
Yeah. It was a really cool boat.
Cool.
I'm going to go ahead and say kind of as objectively as possible that some really intense stuff has happened to us lately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's probably pretty amazing that we made it through all of that.
You're not kidding. Yo, we're strong. We're like, come on. I summoned Grandma. Kieran, you battled like 40 people.
Okay.
June.
Five.
You were a bird and you found our way to where we needed to go. Like, come on.
It's pretty wild.
Whoa.
You think she can hear us?
Oh my goodness. The fire, our boat was on fire. And then I was all like, oh my goodness. I lit the candle because I heard her and I lit it. And Cece like fumbles and pops out the little candle. And it's like much shorter.
Yeah.
Oh, there's not a lot of candle left.
No. Oh, that like ate it up. Oh.
So I guess we better save it for when we really need it, huh?
Yeah.
I guess. Or like when it's really dark. Just kidding. No, like obviously, yeah, no, we gotta. Dang. And then Cece starts yelling into the candle, Grandma, if you can hear me.
June leans forward and goes, thank you, Cece's grandma.
Thank you, Cece's grandma.
Thank you. That was awesome. Oh my goodness. Also, wow. I hope if you hang out again, can you like enter somebody else so like I can say hi? Jeez. Way to just like, you know. I wasn't there, but I guess
you
I was.
You guys begin to hear a bell ring.
Oh.
And you remember that you guys had an hour to kind of kick it around before the captain wanted you to have a meeting. And you hear a bell ring, and then another bell ring, and then another bell ring.
Uh-oh.
And you get the sense that you guys have been out here a while.
I guess we better head back to the ship.
Yeah.
The area, the Red Audrin area.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we need to say?
Real quick, I think I'm friends with your grandma.
What?
That's cool.
Like in real life?
Like I have a whistle that summons ghosts.
What? You like,
I imagine you guys are saying this, like you guys like kick the fire out. CC, you kick it out real quick. And you guys are like walking through the woods as Kieran is now saying about their bone whistle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whistle that summons souls. So ghosts.
Oh,
casually just cool. Throw that in here.
But you knew about that, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I didn't know it could summon, like, Cece's grandma.
Yeah, I didn't know you, like,
I
called
didn't either.
Her.
Wait, have you been hanging out?
Is yeah. Cool?
We did, like, at one of the stops for a little bit, but then some other people showed up instead.
Oh, okay. Oh. Were they cool?
They were okay.
Yo, but nothing like grandma, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, Cece's grandma's,
so
like,
wait, Kieran,
really cool.
On a scale of, like, 1 to 5, with 5 being really scared and 1 being not so scared, how scared are you of, like, ghosts?
These ghosts? Like, 1.
Oh.
Like ghosts in general.
Ghosts in general, like 17.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's the opposite of what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Just checking. You know, that's
dang.
Good to know.
Kieran got to hang out with my grandma twice. You rode the bow. Oh man, what a dang, I wish I was there.
Your grandma's really cool.
She is, isn't she? I miss her.
We should probably go. Like run.
Oh yeah, no, we got.
Oh yeah, let's book it. Let's book it. Anything else while we're running for our lives back to the ship?
I like you guys.
Yeah,
you guys are my best friends.
You're my
best friends
too. I would
be nothing without you.
Yeah, you're like, you mean the world to me. And you know, I just wanted you to know that no matter what happens, I'll always keep you safe, and I love you very much, and you're my greatest treasure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I bargained with madmen who claim to be kings.
Singing way, hey, ho.
And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring.
Singing way, hey, ho.
I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain.
Singing way, hey, ho.
Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name.
Singing way, hey, ho.
My father, he told me to never deceive. A voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you've received.
Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audrin, there is what's called the mail room. And off to the side is a small little room where they sort the mail. And there we find you, Kieran, June, and Cece. And there is a... at the door.
Did you guys hear that?
Brow! Yeah, the brow. Yeah, I heard that.
Is it Lysander?
Is that Lysander?
Oh, goodness, there's a cat at the door.
Cece, you're closest. Will you get the door?
Yeah, it's definitely a cat at the door. Let me open it.
As you open the door, you see Lysander standing at the door.
Yay! Oh,
Lysander puts their ears back as you make a loud sound and goes through your legs, Cece, into the mail room.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. Oh, celebrity sighting.
You see that Lysander does have a little note in their mouth.
Aww.
They go up to you, Kieran, jump on your lap and put their little paws on your chest and offers you the note.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
You're so lucky.
Thank you.
You're best friends with a celebrity.
Do I have to give you something for this?
Lysander goes up and like nuzzles your face a little bit, but then jumps down and just kind of sits on the floor.
Cece claps emphatically.
What a blessing.
Lysander, like, puts their ears back, looking at you, Cece, like it was a very loud noise.
Oh.
It was too loud.
Okay, I'm just going to read this, and then we can hang out with Lysander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Red Audrin, there is a kid where I work that always says mean things to try and make me mad and get me in trouble. How do I know when to stand up for myself and when to ignore them?
Hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, is this note that's from Lysander?
Is this from you, Lysander?
I'm not sure. I don't think it is. Maybe not.
Lysander turns and just begins like licking their toes.
Yeah!
I don't think it is. I think it's from somewhere else.
Okay. But bullying. It's about a total toad who's being mean at someone's occupation, which we know nothing about because everyone on the Audrin is just so kind and giving.
Most of the time.
Lysander gives you a look.
Not you. You're the best. Lysander, I would never say that you would ever bully us. You are the kindest kitty. I've told HR nothing but good things about, you know, your workplace conduct.
Do we have an HR department?
You're protected.
Yeah, I didn't know we had an HR.
We do. It's me.
Oh.
Oh, that's right.
So bullying.
That's real mean.
That's terrible.
That's tricky. Because, like, you know, in general, people who are bullies are doing it for a reason, right? They're doing it because they think they're going to get something out of it or something like that, right?
Yeah. It's like hurt people hurt people. And so usually there's something going on with them to make them totally act like a toot. And it has nothing to do with you, but you are totally being their emotional punching bag, Dr. CC says, as she crosses her leg.
Yeah, I think Lysander agrees with that.
Yeah. But
it's tricky because there's a difference between somebody trying to get you in trouble at work and somebody just trying to get a rise out of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if it were me, I would, I would try to make sure that I just have a good working relationship with everyone around me and maybe, you know, check in with my supervisor.
Yeah.
Right?
And be like, hey. That you can get support from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that teamwork and that synergy. And as far as like when to stand up for yourself, like I think of myself as pretty good at that, but a little too much because I'm learning as I'm getting older and a little more mature and a little more seasoned, I'm learning that sometimes you have to pick your battles, that sometimes when a fire is burning in somebody, you can't just run over there and give it all this oxygen because it's only going to grow. Sometimes you just got to let it burn out. Let it do its thing. You can't fight every battle. You got to know when to pick and choose to stand up for yourself and make a stand. Sometimes it's just not worth it to you. You're just giving that their fire more oxygen. And it doesn't do anything to feed your flame. You know what I'm saying? See? Lysander gets it. Nice cat, man. I'm telling you. Really good synergy. I'm really appreciating.
It's a great cat.
The energy that you're putting out into the workplace right now, Lysander, I really appreciate it.
We see Lysander jump up onto your lap, CC.
CC, like, tries not to explode with glee.
And Lysander does that little circle thing and makes themselves into a small little donut.
Oh, God!
You're doing great, CC.
You're doing really good. You're taking this really well.
Oh, my goodness. I think I must have said something right because my supervisor has just granted me a blessing.
Yeah, I guess Lysander technically is one of our supervisors.
Definitely our superior. True.
Oh, at least.
At least. Lysander at least has an office. We got...
What do you think, Kieran?
I think mostly that it can be hard sometimes to figure out when you should ignore someone and when you should stand up for yourself. But sometimes, I guess, what I do is think about if what they're doing is really going to hurt me or not. Like, sometimes they like to pretend, but it won't actually do anything. That's usually when I ignore them. But if it will do something or if it's to hurt someone else, then I'll stand up for myself and other people because, I mean, that's not fair.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Know when to walk away and when to run.
That's a really good point, CC.
Thank you. That's
really well said, yeah.
It's from this famous sphere philosopher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Named Kenneth Skyroger.
I don't think that's it.
I think that's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's just it. Yeah.
We see the three of you look at each other, and I think that's it.
Roll credits, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Erin Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Erin Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Erin's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/ErinCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kiran Rao was played by Palomi Pertap, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertap.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spin-off of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Asians Represent. Asians Represent celebrates Asian creators and diversity in the gaming community. Join hosts Agatha Cheng and Daniel Kwan as they discuss gaming, genre, and representation with their guests and occasionally argue with each other to the sound of Agatha's beloved air horn app. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey, ho.